Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak like the oracles of God. Wow. May the oracles of God declare the mind of God to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, let the souls, you know, be lit on fire. I mean, let us know that we have been in the presence of the Lord. And when we leave, Lord, oh my, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish this morning, may He do it as we surrender before Him. As always, Lord, bring that light into our lives through the entrance of your word. And let every need be met here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, this morning, power with God. That's my message this morning. Power with God. And I'm going to start with at here in Genesis chapter 32. Now the message this morning is power with God. And I'm going to start at Genesis chapter 32. And I'm going to read verses 24 to 31. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, now Jacob, he was wrestling with this figure. And we're going to find out who this figure is in a minute. See? So this man, he wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of day. And when this man saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the man that's wrestling with Jacob, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto me, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he turned around and told him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Now, you know, we know somebody that likes to change people's names, you know. And then he says, but you will be called Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. Now, you know, he says, you've got power with God, you also got power with men, and you have prevailed. You are as a prince, he told him. He said, your name will be changed to Israel. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray, your name. And he said, why do you want to know my name for? So he blessed him and he left. And Jacob, he called the name of the place. As soon as he left, he said, boy, you know, I'm going to call this name of this place Penuel. Why? Because I have seen God face to face. And my life is preserved. Now, you can read that those few verses again and you'll find out that Jacob was wrestling with God. You know, because he told him, you have power with God and you prevail. Now, he not only wrestled, but he also prevailed. Boy, now this Jacob, he wouldn't let go. All night long, he got a hold of God. And he said, you got to bless me. I'm not going to turn loose. You know, now this, I noticed that this Jacob, you know, he likes to grab on things. And he doesn't, you know, like to let loose. Even from the womb, he grabbed on his brother's heels. How many of you know that? And he wouldn't let go. You know, and he grabbed on him there, and he, when he came out, you know, he liked to grab on things and so forth. I mean, he's the kind of person that won't let go unless he gets a blessing. Now, he got a hold of God all night long, and he said, I'm not going to turn loose, and God wouldn't, you know, he couldn't shake him. God, you know, this figure, you know, God appeared in many ways in the Old Testament, many times in different ways. He appeared to Abraham and so forth like that, you know, and he appeared, you know, to him here and so forth. This figure of God that represented God, he appeared to him, he got a hold of him. But he wouldn't turn him loose. And he had to do something, touch him over here, and make him limp a little bit, get an advantage over him, because he wouldn't turn him loose. Now, but he got the blessing. How many of you say amen? He wrestled all night long with God, and he got the blessing. Now, the problem with people today is some people like to pray for 2 minutes. See? You know, and then think that everything's going to be alright. Well, you know, maybe some things will be alright, but there are some kinds of prayer. You know, there's some kinds of things that you need travailing prayer. You know, and so forth like that. Now, that's why also God, you know, the Lord told us that there are some things that cannot go out except by prayer and fasting and so forth like that. You know, but, you know, people today, you know, they just want to rush through everything and so forth like that. You know, I mean, let me tell you something. you know, the church as a whole, you know, they're talking about revival. You know, revival is coming and so forth. And we know it's coming and so forth. You know, and we know that there are, you know, dispensational revivals that God sends. You know, and then when he does that, you know, it's dispensational. He calls for it and begins to put in the hearts of the people and so forth. They begin to pray and God begins to do some things. Those are dispensational revivals. But any group can have revival at any time if they can get a hold of God. How many of you can say amen? I'll tell you something. You know, I mean, let's say in this consecration that we are going to have coming up this weekend. Let's say everybody that is here today came in here and we decided to get a hold of God. We didn't care about the time. And we stayed here from Friday through Sunday. Didn't go anywhere. Just cry unto the Lord. I guarantee you, the Lord will hear that prayer. And he will do something. But people can't do it, you see. You know, they can't do it. They've got commitments. And they've got, you know, the cares of the life. And they've got all these other things and so forth. You know, and some people can't just handle too much of God. You know. And so they run off, you know, after a few minutes in the presence of God. Well, you're not going to get very far with the Lord if you want to run off after a few minutes. You know, God didn't, you know, I mean, there's a way that God fixed it so that everybody wouldn't get it, you know, this kind of power, unless those that are really seeking him. You know, I mean, if God made it easy that everybody who prayed for 2 minutes and said, Lord, bless me today and so forth like that, and that's how they get the power that I'm going to be talking about in a minute, then everybody would have it. But God has fixed it, you know. He has hidden himself. Say, thou art verily a God that hideth thyself. You know, so you have to do a lot of traveling and seeking and getting a hold of God to break through some things into the real spiritual power and the real spiritual realm. Now, I'm going to be talking about that in a minute and so forth like that. Now, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven if you want, suffered violence from the days of John the Baptist until now. And he said, the violent are taking it by force. Now, it's not going, nobody's going to give you anything. You're going to have to take it. It's what he's saying. You know, you're not just going to sit down and then the windows of heaven will just open unto you and so forth. And then the angels will go up and down the ladder and all that. And then, you know, everything is just going to happen and the Lord is just going to be moving around you, you know, without you putting into it the kind of stuff that we're talking about this morning. How do you get that real power with God? Is what I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, this kind of power that is violent, that can take things, that can grab onto spiritual things like Jacob did, and he got a hold of God and said, I'm not going to turn loose until you bless me tonight. Now, that kind of power, I want to talk about it this morning. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 44. Now, even Jesus, the Bible says, you know, he travailed. He got under that cloud of prayer. And he travailed in prayer until he was sweating blood. Now listen to this. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. He said, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and nailed and prayed. Now that's Jesus. And said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine. Not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel. You know, there's you have the kind of power, you know. Can your faith attract angels to come and minister unto you? I mean, what kind of prayer can you pray that will make that happen? You know, the angel came and ministered unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And he being in agony, he prayed even the more earnestly. And his sweat was at his work, great drops of blood, you know, falling down to the ground. Now, he prayed until blood was coming out of his brow. I mean, that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Boy, and when he did that, the grave could not hold him down. How many of you know that that's true? Amen. The grave couldn't hold him down. He prayed his way out of there. You know, and the devil said, well, you know, I'm going to keep you in that grave. You're not coming out of there. He prayed and he got a hold of the victory and he got that pearl of great price. And that's why you're sitting here today. How many of you say glory to God for that? Amen. That's right. He got it. You know, he got it. But he didn't get it easy. You know, he prayed until blood was coming out of his brow. Now, some of you may not know that's in the scripture. But it's in there. You know, so this kind of power that can move God. You won't send an angel to come and minister to you and so forth like that. He doesn't come with, you know, just 2 minutes prayer. You know, and it doesn't come with just reciting a few things and so forth like that. You know. Now, are you willing to travail? Are you willing to get a hold of God and say, I'm not going to turn loose, like Jacob said, until you bless me? I mean, can you wrestle with God all night long? You know, can you stay in prayer, you know, and get a hold of God all night long and not let loose until you see God move in your life and do great things? Can you do it? You know, do you have that kind of fortitude to stay with God? You know, and that's why God doesn't, you know, jump every time somebody just jumps up and say, Lord, do this and so forth. You know, he puts you to the test. You know, he wants to see what you got on the inside. You know, and then he lets you pray. He lets you travail. You know, sometimes he lets you even have some challenges to see what kind of material you got. You know, and so forth like that. Now, but if you want to have the real kind of power that can enter into the presence of God and cause God to do some things, and I'm going to talk about those things in a minute. Let's see some of the things that you need to do. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, for you to have real power that enters in beyond, you know, goes straight in there. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, righteousness, you know, that's the beginning. You know, that's the road that leads to the kingdom of God. You know, he says, even the scepter of thy throne, the scepter, the emblem of his throne, see, is a throne of righteousness and so forth like that. He that walketh righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart, he that biteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, and so forth like that. You know, that's the one that's going to abide in his tabernacle, and that's the one that's going to, you know, go into his holy hill. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Still the same question. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of our salvation. Now, you know, we're talking about ascending into his holy hill. Real power with God. And I'm going to show some examples in the Bible of people that had this kind of power. Of course, I already talked about Jesus, you know. But I'm going to talk about David in a minute. Now, some of you have heard me so many times talk about this man, David, in the Bible, because he depicts so many things in different ways in his life and so forth. You know, today we're going to show something. You know, now David, you know, the Lord himself, you know, he said concerning David, he said, he's a man after my heart and so forth like that. But let's see what David, let's see the kind of power that David had in prayer with God. Let's see the kind of force that was around him and so forth. Now, this kind of message, you know, will do one or two things. Well, did he just challenge you and so forth like that, you know, to get in with God and get a hold of God until, you know, you get revival in your soul, you know, or, you know, if you're complacent and so forth about it, you know, then it'll be a witness against you. I pray that it's not the latter but the former. Amen. I pray that it will challenge your heart, you know, to get a hold of God. Now, let's see in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and see, you know, the kind of power that David had with God. You know, and let's see if your prayer can do these things. 2 Samuel chapter 22. How many of you are still with me? Say amen. Amen. Just want to make sure you're not falling asleep or something. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to read several verses here, starting from verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, that's 2 Samuel 22. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and so forth like that. You know, you heard me preach on this, the Lord. And he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. Amen? Amen. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation. In fact, he is my high tower. The name of the Lord is a high tower. Bible says in Proverbs 18. And verse 10, and he says, the righteous run into it and they are saved. And the Lord is my refuge and my savior. You know, David even knew that the Lord was his savior even before the angel came to announce him that You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. David already knew all of these things back in the Old Testament. He said, the Lord is my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so forth. So he began to have problems. He said, the ways of death, the sorrows of hell compass me, and so forth like that. Now, in my distress, verse 7, this is where I'm going in this message. So you stay with me for the next few minutes. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear me out of his holy hill, out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. Now look at all of the things that happened because David prayed. Can your prayer do these things that I'm about to read? Do you have this kind of power with God? That when you pray, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook. Because God, he said God was wrath. God was angry. God stood up on behalf of David. Can your prayer do that? Can you do that? Can you make God stand up? Can you make a smoke go out of God's nostrils because you prayed? How many of you are still with me? Alright. Now verse 9, he says, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth, devoured even the coals of fire before him, and so forth like that. All because David prayed. When he cried unto the Lord in his distress, look at all the things that God did. He rose up, he bestirred himself, as a man woken out of sleep. But he moved on David's behalf. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down, and darkness, and all of these things under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, and he did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. Can your prayer make God come to you on the wings of the wind? Can you make him ride upon the cherub? Can you make him stand up and blast fire out of his nostrils just because you called? Do you have this kind of power with God? Well, I'm going to show you how to get this kind of power. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. He made darkness pavilions round about him. Dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven. Can you have a voice with God that can make God thunder because of your prayer? Boy, do you have the kind of voice that can make God send lightnings and thunderings from heaven because you prayed? Oh yeah. You say, are these things in the Bible? Absolutely. And he sent his arrows, and he scattered them, and lightning, and he completed them. All because David said, I cried unto the Lord in my distress. My, that is some kind of power that can make God stand up like that and begin to blast fire out of his nostrils and so forth just because you called. And he said, the channels of the seas appear. In fact, he blasted, things through the seas and so forth like that for him. He did all kinds of things. The foundations of the earth were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord and at the blast of the breast of his nostrils. All because David prayed. My. Can you do all of that with your prayer? Do you have this kind of power with God? Or should I say this kind of cloud? Now, God is not a respecter of persons. See? So I'm going to show you how David got this kind of prayer. The power through prayer like this. God is not a respecter of persons. So he'll do it for you if you can do the same thing. Now. And then he said, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Oh my, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, and those that were too strong for me. And from the violent man, and all of these things he delivered me. Now, one thing that David knew how to do better than anybody else in that Bible, and that's why the Lord chose his throne to sit on, is he knew how to walk that praise. Amen. Oh my, he knew how to do that worship and that praise. And every time, even before the Lord did anything for him, he said, the Lord is my deliverer. Oh my. And when he called upon God like that, and he told God how great he was, even when God hadn't done anything. Before you know it, God said, yeah, that's right, And the Lord, he would stand up on his behalf. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you know how to call upon the name of the Lord, thus will you be saved from your enemies. Just like David. But you've got to stay with it. Now, David, he didn't just call upon the Lord. In fact, he said seven times. And so forth a day. He didn't just, spend 2 minutes in prayer and so forth like that and run off. That's not going to get the job done. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. It's got to be fervent. And it's got to be effectual. That's the one that availeth much. Now, Look at all the things that David caused God to do just because he prayed. You know, and so forth. Do you have this kind of power? I mean, there are things in this Bible, you know, the Bible says, God himself said in the Bible, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know yet. There are things in this Bible that people haven't known and haven't tasted and haven't even seen. Now turn with me to Job chapter 38. And I'm going to read verses 31 to 35 of Job chapter 38. Now some of you may know the story of Job. So many things happened to him because God allowed the devil to test him. After God had testified of him to the devil, and the Lord turned the devil loose, and all these things happened to him. And after a while, his friends and everybody, you know, and he, you know, got into arguments and different things with his friends about, you know, his righteousness and why these things happened to him and so forth. And he got into questioning God as well, you know, and so forth. So finally, you know, God is going to tell him here, you know, and so on. So now in Job chapter 38, let me start at verse 31. Here's what the Lord said to Job. Now, and here's what I'm going to say to every one of us that's in here today, myself included. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? You know, now that's a group. It's not exactly a constellation, but that, you know, that's a group of, you know, heavenly bodies that are out there that are gravitationally bound together and so forth. You know, and I say, can you bind the sweet influences? The influences of those Pleiades, can you bind them? I mean, can you lose the bands of Orion? You know, all of those stars and those constellations out there, you know, can you make them, you know, jump out of their orbit and so forth? Can you bring forth Maseratha in a season, or can thou, you know, guide Arcturus with his songs? Here's really where I'm going in verse 33. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? And canst thou set the dominion thereof on the earth? You know, by God asking Job these things that Job doesn't know how to do, it tells us that there is some kind of power with God that can do these things. You read it between the lines. I mean, do you have that kind of faith and power that can make the ordinance of seas of heaven do things in heaven that will set dominion on the earth? If you know how to walk that faith just right, in fact, you know, there was a man in the Bible, his name was called Joshua. You know, one time he said, stand thou still, thou son, and moan over the valley of Ajalon. Just stay there, you know, until I get this victory done. Amen? Do you have that kind of power? Can you say to the sun and the moon that they should hold their place? Can you do it? Well, if you can't do it, then, well, you haven't accomplished a lot of things yet. So you better seek the Lord some more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of waters may cover thee? In other words, can you call forth rain right now? Can you do it? Can you send lightnings and thunderings and, you know, let them come and say to you, here I am? Can you call forth lightning right now and let the lightning come to attention right before you and say, here I am, send me? Can you do it? You know? You know, he told Job, you know, that's telling him, you know, he told you can't do all of this, and so you better don't question me, you know. But, you know, I tell you what, if you know how to get in union, in unity with the Holy Ghost, and in one of these faith lab, so help me God, by the grace of God, I'm going to go into that, you know. But if you know how to get into the union with the Holy Ghost, boy, there is no telling what you can do. Jesus himself said, the works that I do, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, he already said, the Holy Spirit, he is with you, and he shall dwell in you. Now, when you have that Holy Spirit, and you know how to get in unison with that Holy Spirit, oh my, he'll take you into realms of praise. He'll take you into realms of worship. And he'll take you into places where you can get power with God. Amen? But when the Holy Ghost leads you, you must follow. The kind of leading that the Holy Ghost does is you coming out. Here's what he does. You know, and I'm going to show you what he did to Jesus here in the Bible in a minute. The kind of thing that Jesus, you know, the Holy Ghost does is that Jesus, he comes out here, you know, even before, you know, he does anything. You know, he comes out in Matthew chapter 3. And he goes out, you know, and so forth like that, you know, to be baptized of John, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. You know, and so forth like that. And John was trying to say, no, I can't baptize you. You know, and all of this because, you know, I should be baptized. And Jesus said, let it be for now and so forth like that. And as soon as he did that, the Bible says in verse 16, then Jesus, straight away after he was baptized, went out of the water and the heavens were opened. I mean, you have that kind of power that the heavens can open. And the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, lighting upon him. And here's what the Lord said to him when he came down upon him like that, like a dove. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Yeah. You know, that Holy Ghost, when he came upon him, look at what he did. I wonder if any of you have ever looked at this paradox. The heavens opened up. The Holy Ghost spoke from heaven. Came upon him by no measure. The Bible says he got the Holy Spirit not by measure. So he got the fullness of God. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, the next thing he does to that, his beloved son in whom I am well pleased, is to take him into the wilderness. Read the next verse. Then was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. My, you are my beloved son. I'm going to send you up to the devil to be tempted. And so forth like that. That's exactly right. Every one of you will have to have that wilderness experience. Amen. Yeah. If you want to get that real power with God, you know, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He'll take you up through that test. But he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh my. But you have to stay with the test. You've got to stay with the program. You can't run off after 2 minutes, you know, and so forth like that, you know. And you know, if you can't do it, you know, you're not going to get the real kind of power. Look at what he did. He took Jesus through the wilderness and so forth. And boy, when he came out of there, the devils and so forth, they were falling like lightning all over the place and so on like that. Now, so, do you have this kind of power that Jesus had? And all of these other people that he had, you know, we've seen it in the Bible and so forth like that. You know, we say, why, that was Jesus. No, that, you know, well, we know it was Jesus. But Jesus also did say, you know, and we know that he said it, and that's why we believe it. You know, but if you want to do the things that Jesus said, you know, let alone do the things greater, he said, John chapter 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. My. You know, we can't even do, you know, anything, you know, quite like Jesus, let alone greater. Of course, we know what that greater really means, you know, and so forth like that. Because he has gone, you know, we are going to do more, you know. It's greater really in quantity. And so forth like that. Because everything that God did was perfect. You know, so there is nothing that can be beyond it. You know, but we'll have the opportunity to do more. You know, than he ever did. Because he's not here anymore. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and he's giving us the same Holy Ghost. But we have to get the real power with God. We must be ready to spend time in his presence. You must be ready to get a hold of God and not to turn loose. Perhaps all night long like Jacob did. Perhaps all night long like Jesus did. You know, until blood was coming out of his brow and he got the victory. You know, and so forth like that. And if you want to have the kind of power that can make God stand up when you call, make him blast through his nostrils and so forth like that, then you've got to spend time in his presence. David. He was a man of God that knew how to spend time in God's presence. And he knew how to work that faith and that praise until God would stand up on his behalf every single time that he called. Now, listen to what Jesus even said about David in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus even gave a testimony concerning, you know, some of the exploits of David. Not exactly the one that he went and, you know, did anything with Goliath. No, that's not the one that Jesus was interested in. But notice the one that Jesus was interested in here. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 3. And he said unto them, have you not read what David did? Wasn't talking about Goliath and so forth. Haven't you read what he did when he was hungry? And they that were with him. This was in the days of Abiathar the priest. How he entered into the house of God, and he went and took of the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest. Now David, you know, no veil or anything could keep him out. How many of you say amen to that? Are you ready to go beyond the veil? You know, they had this veil, you know, in the temple. You know, they used to have this temple. They had the outer courts. That's where the, you know, they set the tribes. The 12 tribes, I mean, 3 tribes over here on the east, 3 tribes over here on the south, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, and so forth like that. They set those tribes, you know, around the court there. And out beyond that was the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't even come in. And then when you came into the courts there, you know, then the general people could go in the courts and so forth like that. Well, I mean, and then, you know, then you have the temple. And then people could go into the temple if they wanted. You know, all those children of the tribes of Israel, they had the opportunity to go in the temple, but they could stay in their tents and not go in the temple. So there is a gradual progression. You know, they could stay in their tents and not go in the temple, or they could choose to come into the courts, you know, the general courts, or even go into the temple. And when you get to the temple, they had different compartments. The priests, all of the priests and so forth, could go into the, you know, first compartment, and they could do all of the service and all the things that they needed to do, you know, and so forth. And then they had different compartments. And after the last compartment, which was called the veil to the holies of holies, only the high priest could get in there. And he himself better not go in there more than once a year. And if he went in there, you know, the people used to have to tie something around his legs and so forth, so that if his sacrifice wasn't accepted by God and he fell down and died, you know, when they heard no more sound of the bells and so forth, they knew that the man has died. So they pulled the string to pull him out, because they can't go in there to get him. But if his sacrifice was accepted that he did, he'd come out of there and so forth. But he only did that once a year. And there were things and so forth, and there were things that people couldn't go in. They had these things, you can't go beyond this and all of that and so forth. Now that didn't keep David out. How many of you say amen? Jesus himself said it was not lawful for him, but for the priests. But David went beyond that veil. He got a hold of that hidden manna. Revelation 2 and verse 17. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Oh my. Can you go beyond the veil? Are you prepared to get of that hidden manna? Or are you satisfied with the status quo? You know, are you satisfied with just come to church? You just come to church on Sunday, you know, and so forth, like that. You know, and some of you can't even wait until 12 o'clock, you know, when we finish. You can't even wait on it. I mean, if the service lasts a little after 12 o'clock, people start getting fidgety and so forth like that. Well, you're not going to get anything from God that way, you know. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to go where even angels fear to tread? My. Can you lift up a voice on high and cause lightnings to come forth? Do you know how to command the ordinances of heaven so that they can have dominion on the things on the earth? In other words, can you make decrees concerning things in heaven and make the effect to happen here on earth? Can you do it? Do you have that kind of power with God? Can you go in beyond the veil and get the hidden manna? And not only eat it, but give it also to others? Do you have that kind of faith? Can you do it? Or are you going to stop short, even in front of the veil, and not able to go in? Now, so many of them couldn't go in, you know. And if they had gone in, maybe they would have been struck dead. Now, one man, he tried to help the ark, didn't even let alone go inside the veil. The ark was already brought out. And he just tried to help the ark, and God struck him down. But David, he went inside. Now, what's the difference, sir? You know, boy, because that David, he was in the presence of God. All the time, he knew, you know, how to use that praise. And even Jesus said, haven't you ever heard? You know, this man, David, the man after my heart, haven't you ever seen? Haven't you read what he did? Didn't you know how he went inside the veil for the things that he couldn't do? How he reached beyond the veil and hear how he got a hold of God? Oh yeah, this man, David, he was the same one that caused God to stand up on his feet, caused lightnings and thunderings and the earth to be moved. When he cried unto God, he knew how to go beyond that veil. Today, if you are hearing my voice, I want to challenge everybody. You know, do you have this power with God? Can you Lift up your voice and cause God to stand to his feet and blast with his nostrils. Can you lift up your voice to the sun and the moon to stay in their place, sir? Can you tell, you know, even the ordinances of heaven what to do and make decrees and things happen here on earth? Of course you can. These things belong to the elect of God. Amen. These things belong to the sons of God at the end of the age. You know, but it doesn't come without a price. You know, this kind of power and this kind of faith, and some of you, this message may go over your head. You know, not every message is for everybody, but this message is for some people. How many of you say amen? And if it is for you, then you get a hold of God. Praise God. Because you see, not everybody could go beyond that veil, but David did. Now this message is for those that can go beyond that veil. See, it's not for everybody. You know, because some of you might say, well, you know, what's he talking about and so forth. And some of you are just satisfied, you know, just come to church and do whatever and just pray 2 minutes and go. And then the message is not for you then. You know, but there are some people right here that this message is for. And as the eagle stirreth up his nest, this message is designed to stir you up. You know, God wants you to rise to greater heights, but you've been setting down. You've just been, you know, status quo, satisfied with the things and so forth like that, and just let everybody else, you know, do whatever and so forth like that. Well, that's not going to get the job done. Starting from Jacob through all of these examples that we have read, you must be willing to get a hold of God and pay the price and not turn loose. You must be willing to wrestle with God all night long and get the victory at the end of the year. Don't turn loose. If there's anybody in here today that can pray that kind of prayer, I guarantee you God will move on your behalf just like he did. But you must also be ready to walk in that righteousness with clean hands, with a pure heart. No backbiting and no doing evil to your neighbor, like the Bible said, in order for you to ascend into his holy hill. You must be ready to do all of these things, and you must be ready to pierce the veil. You don't settle for anything less. Amen. Praise God. And you don't need to wait for, you know, somebody to get it from God and deliver it to you. Of course, you know. Yeah, the pastor's job and the ministers and so forth. You know, yeah, we have to preach the word of God. But I'm talking about everybody. I'm not talking about, you know, you wait until, you know, the pastor goes to get from God and so forth, and he has to give it to you and so forth like that. And then you just have an easy role. You know, just wait for somebody else to pay the price. They do all of the searching and seeking after God. They get the revelation from God, and they just give it to you and so forth like that. Well, you know, if that's all that you want, well, that's all you're going to get. But I'm talking about people, everybody, ordinary people in here that can have power with God. I'm talking about every person in here can have this kind of power with God. Because David was not even anointed to be high priest, yet he went beyond the veil. You know, because he knew how to stay. Jacob, you know, wasn't even going to get the inheritance. He wasn't going to get the birthright, but he said, I'm going to get it anyhow. And he got it too. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. He knew how to grab onto the heel of his brother right from the womb. And he knew how to grab onto the heel of that angel. Yeah, he'd been practicing from the womb. Boy, you know, I tell you, whatever you are is what you are. You're right from the time you are born. That's the way you are. You know. So, you young people in here, don't waste your youth and just, you know, do whatever and so forth. Your youth begins to define who you are already. So that's the way you are. The young life, the young days in your life, those are the formative years. Those are the years when you get power with God, like David did. So forth like that. And by the time he was old, he said, Lord, forsake me not. Remember when I was a young man? Oh my, how I went beyond the veil. And I did all of these things, you know, and so forth. You know, and David, you know, he knew how to walk that faith. Now, this morning, I want us to stand to our feet. Everybody in here, stand to your feet. And if you understand the message, this message says, you too can have this kind of power with God. You too can call and make God stand up to his feet. You too can raise up your voice and cause lightnings and thunderings, and God to cause the earth to shake and rumblings to happen just because you prayed. But how are you going to have that kind of power? Oh my. Now this is for sons of God. This is for the children of the Lord. Now, but if you are here this morning and you don't even know the Lord, well, the first step is for you to come into the kingdom of God. That's the first step. You cannot have this kind of power with God unless the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You cannot have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you unless you have given your life. I'm not talking about you've gone to church. Some people go to church all their life and so forth like that, but yet they don't have a personal connection with God. I'm not talking about that this morning. Examine yourself this morning and see, do you have a personal connection with God? Are you ready to move into position? The Lord told me, He said, He's going to begin to move His people into a position. You have to begin to move into position. And some of the messages that the Lord will be bringing is to move the people into position. Well, you know, it goes like this though. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We can stand here on this pulpit and preach all day long. Some people still won't get it. See? But we believe that those for whom it is intended, they will catch the message. And once you move into position with God, your life will never be the same. And I'm challenging everybody here this morning. I'm challenging those of you who may be here for the first time, or maybe you are new and you've never given your life to the Lord. I want to invite you this morning. If you are here, if that's you this morning, we never want to end any service without giving people an opportunity to give their life to the Lord. If that's you here this morning, now don't you be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Don't worry about what nobody else will say. You come on out and give your life to the Lord. Now, if you step in this house, that shows you have faith. Now, if you have any faith at all, you'll do it too. And if you are here, and you want a change in your life, your mind, maybe, you know, you've just been satisfied with the status quo. Maybe, you know, that's all you've been doing. You know, just, you know, pray 2 minutes, you run off and so forth. You can't stand that strong anointing. The Bible says strong meat are for those that are weaned from milk and so forth like that. You know, can you stand the presence of God? Can you stay a couple of hours in His presence? Can you stay with Him all night long? I mean, do you have that kind of fortitude? Are you looking for the power? Or are you ready to pay the price? Now, if you want to pay that price, I want you to start this morning by saying, Lord, that message was for me, and I'm going to get a hold of God. And there's a timing for everything that God does. You know, when He gives these messages, there's a reason for it. And so forth like that. You know, the Bible says, my people have not known the day of their visitation. You know, you say, who has despised? You know, we say, well, you know, a short message and so forth, but the Lord knows what He's doing. And He's reaching out, and will you reach out to God this morning? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And if you want the power, you know, there's also some other prices we have to pay. Jesus said to His disciples, they couldn't cast out the devil from the sick man. They couldn't do any of those things, you know. And so forth. And he said, why couldn't we do it? He said, first, because of your unbelief. You know, unbelief will get in the way of anything that God wants to do. But how do you get rid of that unbelief? You know, sometimes unbelief is so deep-rooted, you know, that, you know, God cannot move. Jesus Himself couldn't do mighty miracles in some places because of their unbelief. And He just went on. And that's the Lord Jesus Himself. How do you get rid of that unbelief? How do you get rid of some of those strongholds that will not come down? By prayer and fasting, by seeking the Lord and so forth like that. Now, I want every one of us to lift up our hands and begin to pray. And if you want me to pray for you for any kind of thing this morning, I want to believe God. Every time we step on this pulpit, we believe the power of God is present. If you need the Lord in your life this morning, you want Him to break the shackles of carelessness and so forth like that, you know, and so forth. And the Bible says, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, people don't have this kind of passion anymore to stay in the presence of God. If you want God, a breakthrough in your life this morning, I want you to step in the aisle and come forward. Now, if you want healing, well, you know, the gospel, any kind of gospel that doesn't present healing for the body as well, is not a complete gospel. You know, so we always ask, you know, if you come to the house of God, it's like going to the hospital. You know, if you need healing, you come in here this morning, You need healing for anything at all. You step up the aisle. You take a challenge of faith. You come out here and let's believe the Lord together. If you have any faith at all, you will step forward and then we'll see what God will do for you. Now, I want everybody all over this auditorium, lift up your hands and begin to pray. I want all heads bowed. I want anybody looking around. If you want prayer, I want you to step forward and I'm going to believe God with you. It doesn't matter whatever you are believing. If you're challenged by this message and you say, Lord, I know that message was for me and I want this kind of power, I want to get in with God. I'm not going to turn loose until He gives me a blessing, until I have revival in my soul. If that's you this morning and you want prayer, I want you to step forward and I'm going to believe. There is an anointing this morning, a different anointing in every service, and I'm going to believe the Lord with you. And when, in a few minutes, when we close the service, if it's over, it's over. And so forth like that. You miss the day of visitation. I don't know when God will visit again like this. So this is your opportunity. So He's calling you this morning. You know, God wants you to grow to greater heights. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for just the ordinary. You know, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith right now. I'm going to come against the spirit of spiritual mediocrity. That's right. When people just want to be satisfied with just the being, you know, at the bottom of everything. Even in spiritual things. I'm going to come against that spirit this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now let's believe God together. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against that spirit of spiritual mediocrity in the lives of your people. The spirit of complacency. The Bible says, Laodicea, wake up! That spirit of Laodicea and so forth like that. The spirit of the chaos of this life. Run off! I can't even stay in the presence of God and so forth like that. Lord, I come against those spirits this morning. In Jesus' name, we arrest them. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. I arrest the spirits of complacency. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we release upon your people, Lord, especially those who come forward this morning, Lord, the spirit of urgency, that we go into the house of God and get a hold of God, and we not turn loose until they receive a blessing. Father, Lord, for everyone that has humbly come forward this morning, Lord, release this spirit upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, take them into greater heights. Take them, Lord, into greater heights, into the things of God. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Praise God. Now, those of you who came forward this morning, I want you to come right here in front of this pulpit right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you say, can God do this? Absolutely. All He wants is for us to yield our hearts to Him. He said, I will be found of you when you shall seek me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, look upon your people, Lord. Lift up your hands and begin to pray, those of you who are here this morning. Yes, you didn't come unto me, but you came unto the Lord. The Lord has challenged you that He wants you to grow to greater heights. Lord, today, even today, Lord, break up the fallow grounds, the Bible says. For it is time for you to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. So to yourselves in righteousness, He says, and reap in mercy. Oh, the Lord is good. Lord Jesus, for all these your lovely people that came out here this morning, seeking you for a deeper anointing, a closer walk with God, a oneness with the Spirit of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, take them beyond the veil. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, that's right, Lord. Take them beyond the veil so that they may receive of the hidden manna. Say, he that overcometh, I will give him the hidden manna. Give unto this your people, Lord, the hidden manna in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, let them develop that relationship with you that can move God. Let them have that voice that can cause God to stand to His feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of the flesh. We command it to fall down before the Spirit of God. Let your spirit rise up, Lord, in all of your people. Give defeating the works of the flesh. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Now, I want those of you who are here, lift up your voice. You are a child of God. He loves you. And he is calling you and so forth. The complacency and so forth, put it beside and so forth. You know, be quickened, you know, and be engulfed with the zeal of his house. Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you are truly this morning seeking the Lord with all your heart, the Bible says God is not mocked. He knows every heart. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he will also reap. If you are able to sow with God in your time and get a hold of him, oh my, all those things, hours that you sow in the secret, he will reward you openly. That's what the Bible says, sir. When you sow those hours in secret, he will reward you openly. Praise God. Father, move upon the people here in the mighty name of Jesus. Move upon them, Lord. Put thy spirit, renew thy spirit within them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Every one of them, Lord, seeking you this morning, renew your spirit within them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, I want those of you who come out here this morning, the Bible says, you know, when you go to the house of God, do not be hasty with your mouth to make any kind of vow and so forth like that, because God has no pleasure in fools. That's what the Bible says. Don't come out here and say, well, I'm going to do this, I want to get a hold of God and so forth, and the next minute you leave, you go right back to what you were doing before, and you don't care anything about getting a hold of God. God has no pleasure in fools. If you want to get a hold of God, and you determined, and you came out here this morning, and I believe you did, then I want you to spend a few minutes and say, Lord, give me the grace. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me that grace. I want to get a closer walk. I want to be one with your spirit. I want to spend time in prayer. I want to have this kind of power that can pierce into the veil, beyond the veil. Spend a few minutes and pray, and I'm going to believe God with you. Lord, every prayer, may these prayers come before you as a sweet-smelling savor. Thou, O Lord, that seest the hearts, that triest the reins of the hearts. Try the hearts, Lord, of everyone here this morning that are standing here, Lord. Try them, Lord. David said, try me, Lord, and see if there's any wicked thing in me. Try them, Lord. Try the hearts this morning. See if there's any wicked thing. See if there's any falsehood. See if there's any hypocrisy. And Lord, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, let your people be true with you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for putting that desire within them. And I know, Lord, that you will enable them. The Spirit of God will rise up in you, and it will cause you this morning to have the desire to go forth with God and to get a hold of God, and it will empower you. We give the Lord the praise and the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, those of you that are here this morning, I believe God in that prayer and so forth, and I know God is going to do a new thing with you. So you just determine you have set a time for prayer, you know, and so forth like that. Set a time. You cannot do it. You can't go throughout the whole day and so forth and just think that everything is going to be all right. No. You've got to set that time. Make it a business with God. Set a time and seek the Lord. And you stay there. Don't care what they take. You stay with God in prayer, and you begin to see the glory of God in your life. You just stay with him in praise. Stay with him in worship. Oh my. Before you know it, he'll break up on you. Bible says, you know, arise for the glory of God. The glory of God will begin to rise upon you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, is there anybody here that came for healing this morning? All right, praise God. I want us to sing this chorus as we begin to end. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you very much. Let's sing this chorus, sir.